Hey guys, how you doing? This is Deshaun Woods, the host of the City of Culture podcast. I do want to thank you for taking your time to listen to the fourth episode. Today's episode will cover basically the new NBA world, a lot of movement. LeBron James now a Los Angeles Laker. We'll talk a little bit about LeVar Ball's JBA League success. We'll also talk about recruiting and what parents should do, preferably when it comes to finances, supporting your child's dream. I want to thank you for the time. And no further ado, here's your episode. When he can't say shit, my hatred is you. Just give me a sign, and I let the world know that the city is mine. What? Ew, how you doing? This is Deshaun Woods, host of the City of Coaches podcast, bringing episode 4 to you. I know it's been a while since we talked about 60 days. I am enjoying myself out in Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, to be exact. Beautiful hiking views, beautiful city, beautiful people. I've been working a lot of camps as well as creating my own camps and working out and getting to know people in the basketball world. I was also learning people all across the country seem to move here to Arizona for various different reasons. I've been hiking a lot. I've been running through the desert a lot. It's a lot of different experience, and I'm going through the monsoon season right now for the first time. It's pretty much a season where it looks like, a river on the street. A lot of times it floods. Sometimes it can get up to 8 feet as high. Hopefully I don't have that experience this summer. Praying, hopefully. So if any of your people who decide to haven't been to Arizona yet, definitely put it on your bucket list. It's a beautiful place all around, beautiful mountains, beautiful scenery, a lot of history. I will go more into that on another episode when I talk about my full experience in the past summer. Now, what are you here for, right? You're here for basketball, right? So like I said, I do thank you for tuning in for the City of Coaches podcast. Now, yes, Golden State Warriors, I'm pretty sure you know by now, have won their third championship out of the past 4 seasons. They did defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers for the world championship in basketball. And I'm pretty sure you already know that they're not going to visit Mr. Trump in Washington, D.C. So they're fine. I know last year they went ahead and did go to D.C., but they decided to go to the National Afro-American Museum, which is a wonderful place. I do recommend people to go there and see a little bit of history that they have displayed up there for us to, you know, see. It's a beautiful place, nice arena, a lot of situation. Now, you also know by this time, you know, that LeBron James has made a decision to leave the city of Cleveland. And a lot of sources have decided to come out and basically spill the beans on everything. Not only does Kyrie wanted to leave right after the championship, and LeBron James basically deciding that he was throwing out hints all year that he had planned to leave. But it was very obvious. It was like he had to go. You know, shout out to Dan Gilbert for not making a mass email or Twitter, whatever he did last time, basically shaming. And he just went ahead and let LeBron go. You understand, as a man, as the owner of a team that's supposed to make money, it is the best situation that LeBron left. I mean, unfortunately, in that situation, they did go over cap. This is the type of things they did Dan Gilbert would not get credit for. Dan Gilbert went ahead and made sure that they went over cap. They signed $80 million to Tristan Thompson. Obviously, we all thought after that one season that, you know, that 2015 season, we thought that he was going to be great. And obviously, he just ended up being mediocre for now. He might change it around. So, he got $80 million contract. J.R. Smith got a ridiculous contract, and you know he's a very, very streaky shooter. You don't even know when he's going to come or go, and obviously even no basketball. So you have that. Then you have a situation where you're trading away so many players and you still have to pay them on other teams. You only got rid of one contract, and we could speak about that contract, and that's Isaiah Thomas contract. You lost Kyrie Irving in the whole situation. You know, that was very hard to deal with, right? So, LeBron James made a decision to go to Los Angeles. Why Los Angeles? Obviously, you know, I don't even think his goal is to win rings anymore. I think it's really just to have a comfortable life for his wife and his children, to grow up in sunny old LA. Where you not want to retire at? I'm in Arizona and I'm loving Arizona, so I can pretty much know why. He signed for $154 million for a 4-year contract, basically getting $4,000 a game or so, or hour or something like that. It was a ridiculous amount. I don't think he has plans to win a championship. I was going to compete naturally because he's the best player in the NBA. Doesn't mean he's the best person to play with, but he is the best person in the NBA, and I can explain that in a second. My favorite team is Los Angeles Lakers, and I was not happy about the move, and a lot of people on the West Coast aren't happy about the move that he decided to make, because we know that he's not coming to LA for a championship. He's coming for his own personal reasons, and you know what? I can't blame him for that. But at the same time, people need to understand what it's for. If people recognize that it's really just for him, just to live out the rest of his NBA career in wonderful weather and be closer to Hollywood, where he's focused on his other ventures, that's fine. But people think about championships, and look at the acquisitions they got. They got Rondo and JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee, I don't know. Rondo, I don't know if it's what you have, Lonzo Ball. So I really don't know how that's going to work. Rondo, he's definitely a leader, so I can't see him coming off the bench in any way. And I don't think he's slowed down that much to really be like a, Sam Cassell or something like that. Someone who's just older on the team, just want to make a little couple more dollars. See, Rondo still wants to compete. So we'll see how that position go. Maybe it'll make Lonzo stronger and better. I really hope, we all, as Laker fans, we're used to the Lakers making sure that they build their team, and that's what the goal last year. They got Kuzma, and they got Ball. They had Randle with his fourth or third or fourth season. Larry Nance. They had all these young players that they want to build up, and then they start trading away Clarkson, trade away Nance, and who else they get rid of? Someone else too. Was it a favor for LeBron? It sounds like it. It sounds like Magic did a favor for LeBron. He traded all his players so they could free up cap for him to come to LA. I'm pretty sure they will never say it publicly, but it just makes sense. It makes sense that all those players would go, and he couldn't play with Isaiah, send him out to LA. And I don't know, he's still on the team for now. I haven't heard anything trades or anything, so we'll see how that goes. He's on a full contract. I think next year he's able to go somewhere. So he might, oh, hopefully, that still works, that he still could at least contribute on the team. I know Isaiah Thomas went from making, a playoff a couple of years ago, was averaging 50 points a game, to going to Cleveland, and after his recovery and not working out and going to LA, and I'm pretty sure he didn't play that much at LA, so I really don't know what's going to be like with LeBron leading the team over there. Partially, the natural fan in me wants to be happy because it is my favorite team my whole life, but also at the same time, I really don't see the goal here unless LeBron comes out and say something differently. Now, the other situation, what I thought was very, very interesting, was Capella. He wants $100 million. Was a $100 million contract for a couple of years of being in the NBA and really being efficient for 1 year. Are the Rockets going to honor that? I don't know. They should probably come close because he did perform very well, especially against Golden State. They really didn't have an answer for him. So he wanted to win. If the goal is still winning, I don't even know if the goal is to win championships anymore. I think Golden State is the only team that has that. Obviously, they really got to deal with DeMarcus Cousins, in that situation. What they get him for $5 million just because, he had an Achilles injury. I'm not saying he's not Kobe, but he's not expected to jump up and down crazy. So he'll be back. But the thing about Golden State, they're so good together that they don't even really need him. So we'll see how that goes in that situation over there in Golden State. Kyrie. Boston still with Terry Rozier getting a lot better. Shout out to Youngstown very own. He's getting a lot better in his situation, playing the two guard, maybe even the one. I know they haven't honored Smart his contract, so I don't know if they're gonna let that go. Well, at least Kyrie doesn't have to worry about LeBron coming. And the East should be Boston's. I don't know if they're gonna do a new playoff format. And like I said, people, a lot of people, oh yeah, well, KD left and this and that. But really, truthfully, once, let me explain this. A lot of people say, well, the big three started in Boston. No, dude, all three of those cats were past their prime. They just joined them together, but maybe not Paul Pierce, but the other two were past their prime when they joined Boston. The East wasn't that strong still, though, and they pulled away and got Kobe in the 4-2 series. But after that, you know, they went back down to the fall, or Magic ended up going in next year, and then turned around, they made it back and took the Lakers to a 7-game series. Almost had a revival of the good old days, but they took Lakers to 7 games. Lakers won their 7th game, obviously. But they fell apart right after that. You know, two of them got traded to Brooklyn. Rondo bounced back and forth between Sacramento and Chicago and New Orleans. So, you know, you look at that situation, but you look at LeBron James, he really was the step goat of the situation. He was the first player to really make that decision to just, I would say abandon, because it is his right to go free agency, but just, you know, you walk away and then you're doing this tour, speaking to all these all these teams, and he told Bosch to come with him. I mean, we know Wade wasn't leaving, really. You know, he did interview with Chicago, but Wade wasn't leaving Miami. And now that you look at it, I don't blame LeBron for going to Miami. Like he said, like, it was like him going to college. Like, I think about this kid, supposed to be straight out of high school, he was starting basically anything at Cleveland, right? So he looked at it as going away finally. He'd been in Ohio all his life, wanted to live somewhere else and feel free. So he went to Miami. I don't blame him. I feel like he should have stayed there, though. Yeah, I don't really say, know the sincerity of him coming back to Cleveland. So, you know, obviously he said it was to win the championship, but really, truthfully, I don't think that he liked how things were unfolding. Chris Bosh was obviously getting hurt. Dwayne Wade, obviously, you know, having his hurt situation and not playing as much as he wanted him to play. And they were locked up financially with a lot of players, the same thing. So, basically, I feel like he ran away because he's like, yo, I can run away and find something away. He knew Kyrie was still going to be there, and he knew Kyrie was a dog. Think about LeBron. He knows about all his teams that he's going to go to. You know, so he made the decision to go back home, and, you know, they lost, and, you know, because Kyrie got hurt, and or necessarily like that, and that's without KD. And then they add KD, you know, after the second straight year going back and forth. And Ghost, they made the decision to, and they worked so well. They moved the ball so well. That's how basketball, what it is. Like I said, one thing about Cleveland, prime example in the finals, they didn't move the basketball. Same thing, pass to LeBron, let him move around. See what he's going to do. We'll get a rebound. So, you know, they got, so Warriors got Cousins, LeBron's in L.A. We'll see how that go. Julius Randle got traded to New Orleans. It's going to be a nice little situation with him and Anthony Davis together. And I like Holiday as a point. Maybe they find another wing. New Orleans might go deep in the playoffs. You know, see Carmelo Anthony. They're working on a buyout over there, OKC. We'll see him. I can see him better with the Rockets. He doesn't want to come off the bench. And I don't necessarily know if LeBron wants him in L.A. because he seems to have some kind of control in that situation somehow. You know, whatever that's going on over there. So, East is wide open, so I don't know about the new playoff format. So let's talk about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is one of the top players I've ever seen, you know, period, as an NBA player. Forget college. Just talking about NBA. He's a pure shooter. You can't really guard him. You know, situation is nothing we haven't seen before. Like, LeBron's just, he's tall and big, you know, and stuff like that. So he has his benefit. I know KD is going to surpass LeBron. Probably people are not going to like it because at least the ball game championships, if they win this year, will come from being part of a good team. I don't care about a super team. It's a good team. They play well together. And that's how basketball is. You can have whoever you want on your team. If it don't work, it don't work. Prime example, 2004 Lakers. We added Gary Payton and we added Carmelo. Obviously, they got through the West, fine. But then you got this young Detroit team coached by the great Larry Brown who seemed to knock them out. You know, and that wasn't supposed to happen. Carmelo wanted a ring before he retired. Gary Payton, he ended up getting it in Miami, but he wanted a ring. So they joined forces with Kobe and Shaq, and it just didn't work out because Kobe had his complaints and Shaq had his complaints. And, you know, obviously, at the end of the season, someone got traded out of request. Lamar Odom comes to L.A. So, super teams are not. Chemistry is the most important thing. Chemistry is what you see every day. You know, but obviously, that was my cover on the NBA. I'm not really an NBA podcast type of guy, but it is something to talk about because it's some serious movement. Shout out to Paul George staying at OKC. I don't know, Terry, know why you wouldn't want to go back to LA. Personally, feel people just don't want to play with LeBron James. But it'll come off as a hater, so I'm just letting you know, it's just, you know, a lot of players. Leonard's not moving, you know. We'll see how that goes with San Antonio. He's willing to go to the Clippers, and Clippers don't have anything to give back to the Spurs. So who knows? He might end up just sitting for a whole year until his contract's up, which will be very sad and unfair because he's a great player. But he will have to make that decision with their team. That he plays for right now, San Antonio Spurs is really not trying to get rid of him unless they're really going to get something beneficial. Because he's probably worth about three players. But three decent players. Because he's still young. And I feel like he has a little fire in his belly. And I think that's what San Antonio sees. So, one of my dear city topics is the JBA. Now, the Junior Basketball Association did start off on June 21st. They did start out this season. And it seemed to be epic already. Great talent. That is surprising me. And that, people who know what the JBA, it is a league created by the great LeVar Ball. And it seems to be Lonzo Ball and the Big Baller Brand family decided to take their wings out and get kids to just graduated high school or probably been out of high school for a little bit. So they made the decision to go ahead and join. So, you know, I've been watching the game since June 21st. And when I started on June 21st, I was just more shocked on how many players actually could play. I'm not saying they plan to have scrubs or anything like that, but they did actually have some players. Been watching some good games. I do feel the format is a little bit too much. First of all, they shouldn't be having arenas and universities. It should be probably at high school gyms. And probably the prices should be a little bit cheaper. You know, I'm looking in the crowds. Probably look like it's probably 150, maybe 200 people. Probably more, but when you're filling arenas, stuff like that, it just looks a lot smaller. So they might have, that might bite them in the butt sooner or later. So they'll probably make that adjustment. The Facebook Live thing is pretty dope because obviously, you know, it's a good situation because people always have their phone in their hand. They could be driving. And I always look for content when I'm driving when I could just listen to it because music doesn't always do it. So it's good to see that on Facebook. Even if you're not looking, you can hear it. You know, the commentators are not that good, but I think they're young as well. So they'll probably work on the commentating as well. But I understand when you give young people opportunities, you know, I mean, that's a hard job. And you, to sound good at it is hard, but we know who the pros are, obviously. So that would develop too. You know, players, but the biggest thing, though, is the talent. The talent they have is unbelievable. Like, I know with some junior colleges, some D1, maybe not D1, I don't know if they have D1 talent, but they probably do. But there's some D1 talent, maybe. I know for a fact there's some JUCO and some D2 talent that's probably some schools are probably upset right now because they didn't get that talent. Because they get some high flowers, some good shooting players. But the one thing I don't like is for them to be playing NBA time, you know, 48 minutes with eight players. The score, maybe with eight players, it's a long time for some kids just graduating high school. You know, that's, might want to bring the time down a little bit too. But this situation will expand because more business people will look into it, especially with all the exposure that it's getting. Because obviously it hasn't started out bad. Ticket sales is a different story. People don't want to pay for things, especially if it's brand new. You know, you could think about the big three. Like, yeah, people were excited for a lot of the NBA players to be able to see their favorite players. But Iverson never, I think he played one game. You know, he was like the spokesman of the league. The first player to really commit. And then like some players that were playing, you really didn't know that well. Or even consider them a great. You just know they played at one point in the NBA. They were just stuffing teams together. But they made it through the first season to the point where now they're on a prime time and they're showing the games live. It was pre-recorded. So there's always development in a situation. I'm pretty sure whoever said, you know, Ice Cube was not smart making the big three, they're probably smacking themselves in the head because the big three is definitely flourishing to the point where even yesterday I was sitting in my living room and I was watching some of the highlights and I was like pumped as if I was at actually game, how hard they was playing and some of the good shots. And it just looked good, the ball movement. from 3-3. So if the big three can happen, JBA would definitely develop if Mr. Ball keeps his eye on the prize. Now, I know his son is supposed to debut tomorrow, Jello, who's actually a good shooter. I know that they probably messed up by not having him go to different, different workouts. I think he only committed to the Warriors and the Lakers. He probably should have committed to everyone. And honestly, truthfully, why would you go to the top teams that really don't need you? You should have went to Orlando, no offense, Orlando or Detroit, or not even Detroit. They're good right now. Memphis. Like some of those, the markets that really don't have even a star player or even a team, you know, to get in. You know, his parents are so worried about his kids, all his kids being Lakers, but it kind of may have hurt him in that situation. Hopefully, he don't stay in the JBA too long. He turn himself around and get himself on the NBA team. Other thing about the JBA, remember the kids get free online courses. Was one of the dopest situations I ever seen. So you get free online college courses, and this league only lasts 2.5 months mostly. You get, you know, free online courses, and also you get a direct line to overseas teams. Because, you know, like, even the Euro League, which is the top overseas league, I bet you they're looking at some of these JBA players that they can snatch up for whatever type of contract they want to give, whether it's $50,000, $60,000 a year or something like that. They want to snatch them up. So I guarantee a lot of these kids are going to be playing in Europe, which they should be because they're pretty good. So that's a good thing that is starting to pan out player-wise. You have the talent. Just like I said, you know, you build an ark, the animals come and people come too. Same situation. You build a program and once you make sure that you have a good establishment. They have some decent coaches too on the JBA. So make sure you take the JBA on your Facebook. Seems to play every other day, pretty much. I think with 8 teams, every other day, they're traveling across the country on their own little tour. They're on a little situation where they're traveling across the country and playing against. I'm sure Seattle just happened to see some kind of men basketball, probably been missing for the past, it was 9-11, so not a lot of us. So 2005, so about 10 years since they actually had really a team to play, since Oklahoma City decided to move down to fill out New Orleans void, because you know New Orleans went down first to Oklahoma City during the whole Hurricane Katrina situation. But then when they left, OKC moved down there. They seen the opportunity to take over that market, which they did in that situation. So make sure you check out the JBA. Don't look down on everything just because the media doesn't cover it. Remember, the media overcovers LeBron James a lot too, but that doesn't mean that. You just can't believe everything. Sometimes you got to do your own investigation. So any high school or college players, it's obviously this is an opportunity for you if you don't see yourself being on the bench at a D1 school. Now, if you have D1 talent, this one of the benefits that you will go to the NBA right away. I definitely wouldn't say don't take the scholarship. But if you're a kid who is going to try to walk on somewhere, I would make sure that you go ahead and make that decision to go ahead and to give JBA a situation a chance, especially if you're a junior college. You're not getting your school paid for really anyway, and if you are, it's really crumbs. So why not be able to play your sport and also go to college at the same time? You got your whole life to work. Trust me, you got your whole rest of your life to work. So make risky decisions early on in life, so if you don't make it when you're old, you don't have to worry about so much. Word from experience there. So you had that now. The biggest thing in that lead, I understand the marquee player is LaMelo Ball, which actually he's growing. I think he's 6'6 now. You know, that's amazing for him right there. You know, he's 6'6 and with long wingspan, can still shoot the rock, and he's dunking now and catching alley-oop. So he might actually pan out to be an NBA player one day, just hopefully. Since he's so young, remember, people understand that he's younger than what people think. He actually moved up a grade so he could play with his brothers. So he's actually really truthfully supposed to be heading to his junior year in high school. You know, he was heading to he's supposed to be heading to his, junior year high school or senior this year, one or the other. We can fact check that later. But definitely in this situation, we want to make sure that people are looking at all options when it comes to things. Now, this summer experience I've had this summer when I'm talking to various different parents about various different things, whether about, you know, what's the difference between training or what's the difference from your kid joining camps. And, you know, I have a lot of experience with that where, you know, you have, you know, some parents, they decide to put their money in their children's life. So they decide to get them trainers and camps. But I really highly recommend that parents only put kids in camps that really is going to benefit them, you know, sometimes. So saying no can help, because a lot of times these camps, they're designed to babysit. You know, you teach the kids a couple drills and then they move forward. So that it becomes a very different situation for some of those kids. You know, one-on-one training is something, if you're going to put your finance, is something that your kid will learn to be able to adapt, and it will help them towards their career in basketball, whatever sport they want to play. So definitely look into one-on-one training and maybe group training. Camps are more like, you know, hey, especially like the camp advisor may have like a group of 30 kids, and they may rate your kids out of all 30 kids. You come home, your kid comes home and says, "Mom, he rated me 5 in the group. I'm the best person in the group." You understand that 5 in that group is probably not even the top tier players you would think. But since your kid, you and your kid pay for that camp, and whoever's running the camp makes you feel different. It's not really developing your child. So I definitely recommend, I don't even recommend team camps, to be honest with you, but that's just my personal opinion. But I recommend that parents do make sure their kids getting some more training or learning, because now you have YouTube to your disposal where you can just look at the offense, you can look at defense, you can look at some skill sets, you can learn some things off. You don't necessarily need a personal one-on-one trainer. You can just go on YouTube and say, "I want to know how to do an in-and-out cross pass," or "I want to do an in-and-out left hand, right dribble. You know, I want to see what I can do where I'm the only one shooting the ball, so I find a drill where it's just me dribbling the ball all down the court." There's various things you can find on YouTube. You don't necessarily need training. The thing is, like, you want to support your child, but make it matter. You definitely want to make it matter, because you don't want to be that parent when a kid's 18, 19. You're like, "What about all the camps I sent you to? What about all the things I did you to?" And then, you know, your kid doesn't really understand that that money was that time, and why are you stopping when you can put that money up and you could actually help them pay for their college. So that $2,000 a summer you're putting your kid through all these camps where they're not really developing, you could put $1,500 at, you could put it away, go towards their college fund or their graduation fund, whatever they decide to do. So I do recommend training, YouTube videos, whatever it may be, you know, but all these basketball camps I see a lot of kids going to, especially here, you know, in Arizona, I kind of look at it like, why? But, you know, that's not speaking against people who run camps, and I might run camps one day, but I would make it worth it, though. I don't want to waste any children's time. I've been a part of a couple good camps this summer that I have nothing negative to say about, but I definitely understand at some age group, at some levels, you just really got to see what the kid put into herself, see how much investigation they're looking at. These kids find out how to work all these filters and what's the game, Fortnite. They learn how to work all these game systems. They can learn how to be able to stop not being costly on your pockets. So I definitely support that 100%. You know, one of the biggest topics near and dear to me is as a coach. You know, I just talking to a 7th grade coach here. And I said, 7th grade? I haven't been a 7th grade basketball coach in so long. Even at 32 years old, I've been coaching just be my 11th year coaching coming up. But I've been coaching basketball for so long, and then, like, think about it, like, wow. It was, like, 21, 22, I was a 7th grade basketball coach. And you reflect, it's like, wow, how did you start? When really, truthfully, you're still learning at that age. Like, how do we even orchestrate this thing? But obviously, you build confidence and carriage with experience. Always learn. Me still to this day, I'm always learning to perfect my craft. Yeah, I feel like I'm very crafty, very smart, very intelligent when it comes to basketball. But I've always challenged myself a lot. Whatever plays I have, I try to add different variables, different looks. I do myself. Anything I haven't experienced in. You know, I go look at some old film of any teams I've been a part of and coach to see, you know, whatever I taught before maybe could look good, or I have similar players to someone I may not even thought about. Like, oh yeah, you reminding me of Lucas from Memphis High School in 2013. It's 2018. You remind me of that player. Look at him. See, I moved the same way. It worked for him. Let me show you. So I look at my arsenal. I have enough experience under my belt to be able to look at my arsenal sessions like that. So that's the biggest thing there when it come to coaching. Anyone who wants to get involved to this, understand that you are giving, I've said this in the first podcast, understand that you're giving up a lot. You give up a lot, especially if you're a head coach. You're giving up so much because you're so, these kids are dependent on you helping them succeed, whether it's going to be at the grade school level, high school, or even college, or maybe even semi-pro or pro. You have to understand that it's not about you. You're trying to help these kids get further or as good or even better than what you were. That is the goal. It's not the goal to take your dreams, your aspiration, and take it out on someone else's child. You're just helping the parent guide the kid and utilize a certain tool that you have most experience in. It's your job being the head coaches. You have the most experience, and you have the most, say so in that situation because you are the head coach. And therefore, these parents, these children, are expecting you to lead them the best way, not teach them selfish ways, teach them great things. I seen an article the other day on Twitter. If you do want to add me on Twitter, it's DL, it's Coach DL Woods on Twitter. You can add my handle there. If you wanna, I haven't been tweeting much, but I'm gonna get back to it, especially with season coming up. But yeah, I was looking at it was just saying like it's either you have it or you don't, right? And at some point, you have to realize that you have it or you don't. Are you really willing to sacrifice, or if you really are putting yourself on the line for someone? And if you are really putting yourself on the line and sacrificing, you have every right to voice your concerns, whatever it may be. But if you're half doing anything, especially when it comes to building or helping other ones succeed, you have to be, like I say, you have to be just as invested, but you have to be as invested as you're supposed to be. So make sure that you are putting yourself forward to a lot of situations when it comes to that. Basketball. Whew. It is so interesting to talk about basketball, especially for me because it is my whole entire life, But to kill basketball for the moment, let's talk about entrepreneurship. Currently, I do have a business called Woods Innovation LTD, where I do speak. I do ha be hired for motivational speaking and as well as talking to youth camps. So that's what I do basically. I made the decision when I became a junior college coach and I seen the platform it provided for me. And I said, I need to find out how to make sure I support my dream. Because remember, when you are at a lower end college, you're probably getting nothing to next to nothing, but you're expected to be there as if you're a full-time student. So you have to find different ways to supplement your income to be able to support your dream. In my situation, I went ahead and created an LLC and find different ways to be a part of basketball and make it my whole life, whether it's creating books or creating templates or creating, game plans or practice plans for other people or, speaking to games or whatever it is, or at one time picking different, like, is a lot situation. I remember Coach Gino, UConn's coach, he was talking about how, like, he was working a construction shop at his first college he worked at. He was working, construction in the daytime, coaching in the evening. There's the type of sacrifices you have to have. And I don't say you're a teacher, but say you're not a teacher. Say you're a person like me who has, you can get the certification and have the experience and has a degree, whatever. At the same time, you just don't want to be in a classroom. So you have to find other supplements until you get to where you want to be, until you get to the point where you can sign that $100,000 or $400,000 coaching bonus or whatever it is, when all you got to focus on hiring other people to work for you. So, understand that you're going to struggle first. Just in general, just try to keep an organization. A lot of times, a lot of organizations or athletic director, principals just going to give you the job and try to help you figure it out. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to figure it out. You're going to figure out how to coach. You're going to figure out how to make sure whatever you worked at one place, it still works at another place. You're going to figure out how can you make sure that, you're still making sure you're doing your administrative thing. Make sure you're up. upload the information to the parents. Make sure you're keeping them posted. Anything you may need for mail, you can give them a long time in advance. Let them know this is what you may need. Order forms, grades, you know, staff meetings. These are various different things you have to deal with when you are coaching a sport. It has nothing to do with basketball. It's the various things outside of basketball. That's how you become, you know, the head of the team, because there's so much other stuff that you deal with. X's and O's, these, so when that ball go up, you've already rehearsed everything. Now you're just there to implement, to make sure it gets done correctly or the way that you request it to be done. So that's something that people, you know, take under consideration. Well, it takes a lot of passion, a lot of hard work. And people have it, you know. I was paying attention to Kobe Bryant's ESPN detail, you know, where he's breaking down various, all through the playoffs, he's breaking down different offenses, the defensive moves, whether they did complete it or what they could have done, which is funny how you explain how someone else could have done, you know, and it all works out because he's a basketball genius and this is what he wants to do. He wants to be a part of the life. He's not playing anymore, but he still wants to get paid for it or whatever it may do it. So he's creating different avenues. I know he just got an Oscar for a little, you know, a short film, animation film. He's working on BLA editors. He's working on things to be to eat off of this stuff and various different things. So, you know, there's going to be different passions that you do create, you know. Woods Innovation LTD is the business. If you want to check it out, you can email me at woodsinnovationltd at gmail.com to have further discussions and such things like that. I do love talking to people. I'm always being able to, you know, and rub elbows with certain people to talk about this beautiful thing called basketball, which is the most important thing in my life right now. So hopefully that would change in the future, but right now it's all about ball, right? So I want to give a shout out to my favorite, Jordan Horsted, so wonderful. She just got selected for the University 17 team to play on behalf of USA Basketball. So shout out to Ohio's very own Afrocentric Columbus City Basketball or City League or public school, everyone along. She's an alum of Columbus City League. So we do support Jordan to make sure that she is very successful in their situation. Recruiting. It's so crazy that we have to keep talking about the same thing when it comes to basketball and when it comes to recruiting and understanding recruiting violations. Yes, there are coaches who are going to show up at AAU games. Why? Because it's easy access to see multiple players at once. It makes more sense for them to do that. But don't get it twisted. They're calling a high school coach. I had a parent tell me, my son would just get recruited out of AAU. No. They're calling a high school coach because the academics is you still have to get into the school. No matter how many strings they pull, they still got to get you into school. So that's why I'm telling you, you can throw these kids in all these AAU programs, especially like that. But the most important thing is look at the structure. A high school is a rewarding for you. The reward for you being able to complete your studies at a satisfactory rate, you could now represent the school. Same situation at college. You know these kids only, you know, unfortunately, in a situation where they may work for half of the year, and since they're getting drafted, they don't even go to class for the next half of the year, which they can't get cut because it's only two semesters. So you have people take advantage of the system, but you also have administration and coaches who know that the kids is just going to help them win. So they might even implement and make sure these kids are doing what they so part. As I always say, it's very important the parents will be involved. Even if you don't have the experience, you learn the experience. Or you put someone in your kid's life that has the experience of when it comes to recruiting or going to college or, you know, for basketball or football, whatever the sport is, and parent that you get in these kids' ears before they get it on campus. Because really, truthfully, you know, they're treated like men and it's a job. They don't even care if you show up to class, as long as you're eligible to play. And we don't want that because a lot of situations, you end up basketball be your whole life. You'll never get up in corporate America. You know, you'll be dreaming about the sport forever. You'll be left alone. So it's very important to talk to financial advisors and such like that for players who are going to get drafted, who are drafted, and to get one right away. Should be no break. should be break. Should be no broke NBA players. Why? Because their money's guaranteed. What's the reason? Money's not going where it needs to be. But it all starts from home, the communication. You know, we're all in a better place and situation. Overall, it's exciting when it comes to seeing more and more people of color and getting higher positions and higher education. So we are, the door is opening. Of course, they're not going to open it all the way for everyone to get in, but it is opening for people to look at that situation. So pay attention to recruiting. Make sure your kid's not talking to coaches before the time it's supposed to be. It always reaches back to you. Make sure you keep everyone in the loop. Athletic director, school officials, basketball coach, when these people are talking. I don't care if they reach out to you from AAU. At the end of the day, your kid's grades from the high school is the one's going to get them into that school. So make sure you pay attention, especially like that. To rehash so far, we'll keep today's what it's supposed to be, right? It's just basically a conversation between me and you. I'll give you an update. I will have a couple interviews lined up before the school year starts, college and high school. So I'll be talking to high school coaches and college coaches here in the area of Tucson, Arizona. So look forward to that. Any young person or young athlete that's listening to this, the biggest thing here is focus on your education. Look at your background. See what you're really going to succeed in. And if you do have that meal ticket from your parent, make sure you're using it wisely. Make sure that you're doing the right thing by yourself. And make sure you're not overexhausting yourself. And don't put yourself in too many things, because that's how you can risk injury. Make sure you stay focused. Make sure you're doing your part in the education in the classroom. Good luck this school year coming up, high schoolers and college students. And if you're in middle school, good luck to that, or elementary. Well, I don't know if elementary can be listening to this, but if anyone is any type of schooling, make sure you're being successful to that. Any new coaches that'll be coming up this year, never coached before, only have a couple years of experience, understand, never stop perfecting your game. If you're expected, if your players are expected to get better and grind, you need to be filling your head, your brain, or however how you want to word the thing underneath your skull to make sure that you're doing your part, to make sure that you adjust things or anything like that, or you're learning how you can tweak some things, or if you're looking to run a new offense or defense, make sure you're playing in your head. So when you do administrate it with the young athletes, they can pick on quicker. So you don't have to, doubt yourself, and most of all, have them doubt that you know what you're doing. So always practice and perfect your craft or what you're doing. Keep getting better. What it is? Make sure you pay attention to the JBA. Support that. So I mean, not to get too personal, but support the JBA. It's a new look. And understand, like, Division I college is not for everyone. It's not going to be for everyone. If everyone can get a scholarship, you know, what's this? What is 4,000 kids get Division I scholarships? And only, what? Was it 400? 400. Yeah, it's 400 to 40 people getting drafted. Okay? So 400 kids are going to get a Division I scholarship. And 400 only 40 of them getting drafted to be. There has to be a different way. And one thing, you don't want to screw yourself around dealing with the NCAA. If you're going to play ball, you want to get paid for it, but it's not going to be no money, but you're still living your dream, and you still get a chance to go overseas, you look at the JBA. Parents, make sure you pay attention. I'm stressing it. Pay attention to what your kid is involved with. If there's something they want to do, any type of sport, make sure they're practicing the sport on their own. Make sure they're getting better at what they do. I do appreciate you guys listening to today's podcast. I look forward to talking to with y'all a little sooner than later. I know it's been a lot later lately, but I'll try to get back on task with the City of Poachers podcast. Thank you for listening, and you have a good night.